couple other things I'd like to say about that. You'll turn your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. I do this a lot on the message, and then I find myself repeating so much of it. I get in and can't get out of it. Excuse me, having trouble with my throat. First Samuel chapter 20. But I did want to and feel necessary that we do this tonight. God being our helper. And we'll just read that one verse of scripture, verse number 3. I ask you to stand, please, while we read the word of God. And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." Now let me pause here to say and catch everybody up. This is David and Jonathan talking, and how that we talked this morning about Saul being jealous of David. He wanted to kill him, and he knew that God had his hand on him and that he was to be the king, following him and not Jonathan. But Jonathan, he was not concerned about that. Jonathan loved the Lord, I believe, in my heart. He loved God. And then David came by. He loved David as his own soul. They became great friends. And now David's talking to Saul, to Jonathan, and is trying to tell him that Saul wants to kill him. And, of course, Jonathan has a hard time believing that. That's his dad, and he has a hard time with it. But notice what he said. "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." Aren't you glad one day you found grace in the eyes of God? Amen. I remember that story of Mephibosheth. And you know why David was kind to him and sent for him down in Lodabar? Because that Jonathan and David made a covenant. And they take care of the family. And if you'll read on back, you'll find it. He didn't want to cut that family off. And Jonathan, they made that covenant that Shirley sang about this morning. And I say praise God for it. Mephibosheth pictures us as sinners. And I'm glad here, in a sense, David's pictured as that, because David, he'd found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David had found grace in the eyes of Jonathan, but not Saul. Saul was cruel, wanted to kill him. "I found grace in thine eyes." And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Truly, there is but a step between me and death. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray for a few moments. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you tonight for the privilege we have stand in the house of God and preach again. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and I praise you. Yet I realize, Lord, that we cannot do that within ourselves. We need a divine touch of God. We need help. And Lord, tonight, I pray you touch us physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way that we be an instrument in the hand of God, that you may get glory out of the preaching of the Word of God. It may touch the hearts of those who hear it and do business with you, and we'll thank you and praise you. I thank you tonight for Brother Gary Atkins and pray. Lord, you bless he and his wife, and I pray for him as he struggles with some physical situations and other things in his life. Father, I know he wants to preach, and I pray that you'd help him, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. I pray now in Jesus' name you'd help others that are sick in our church. I pray for Miss Foster. Ask you to help her, and I pray for Brother Beardon, you'd help him. Father, we pray for all those been in bereavement in recent days and those here at the house of God have sickness and things happening in their lives. But Father, I'm glad you've been saving souls and stirring hearts. And God, help us tonight to preach, and you get glory and save souls, stir hearts. And we'll give you the glory and praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm looking now at this verse of scripture and the latter part of it. There is but a step between me and death. What David was saying was, in fact is, later, You'll find that Saul even slung a javelin at Saul, at David, and tried to kill him. And he ran out of the way, got loose, and went on his way. And here he is now, and he's but a step between me and death. And he's trying to tell Jonathan that. I tried to tell you this morning, there is but a step between you and death, me and death. As far as when I say death, I know for the child of God, there is no death. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. So we'll never die, but physically in this body, it will cease to breathe one day. Soul, spirit, exit out, saved to go to glory. And I say amen and amen for the great truth of that. It's appointed unto men once to die. And I want you to get that today. And so death, we're just but one step. We don't know when a car is going to hit us. We don't know when we'll go to bed and not get up. We don't know when we'll drop over. We don't know when. I just say to you, it's appointed to man once to die. Outside of the rapture of the church is the only hope we have without going through the grave. And going through the grave is not bad for a saved person, because it's just good night over here and good morning over there. So that's not a bad thing. We talked about heaven and just a step between us and heaven, saved people. Just a step between us and heaven. Aren't you glad? And wouldn't it be something walking down here on this earth, dealing with problems, dealing with situations, and all of a sudden drop over and be walking on streets of gold, meeting Jesus and having a, I don't know what all was going to be like it up there. Revelation tells us some, but we couldn't take it. My mind couldn't handle it. I'd explode sure as a world trying to think about heaven. But I can tell you tonight, there's but a step between me and heaven because I'm saved. I know that to be a fact, and I praise God for it. Then we talked about the fact of hell. And just a step between the unsaved and hell. And you say, preacher, I'm pretty good. I do all right. I don't steal, cuss, or that kind of thing. Don't drink liquor. That may be so, but if you've never been born again, there is but a step between you and hell. And you'll step off into hell sure as the world if you don't come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Now, let me give you the fourth thing tonight. There is but a step between you and salvation. And this morning, there were some precious folk here, and someone had brought them in as visitors with them. And I noticed the lady during the invitation, tears running down her face. And they both, well, I'm going to tell you too much about that. But anyway, a couple of people showed real interest in the invitation, and they listened closely in the preaching. God got a hold of their heart, but they didn't choose to make that step toward Jesus. That broke my heart, because they could have stepped out by one step and come to Jesus. You say, well, you said one step. It may have been one step from where they said it. I believe with all my heart, when you break your will to the will of God and you start and make one step toward God, you're on the way. Amen. That first step is a really important step, because if you never make it, you'll never make it the rest of the way. And some get saved, I believe, coming down the aisle. I believe some get saved at the altar, and some get saved. Brother Seth over here at the altar the other night got saved. And Brother Mark, he messed up his foot and can't be here, but he's sitting over our last Sunday night, or Wednesday night it was. And Seth had been under conviction, and he came to the altar, and Brother Mark asked him, what could he help him, whatever, and he said he wasn't saved, and Mark said, let me get my Bible. And he went and got his Bible and showed him how to be saved, how to come to know Christ. I say, amen. I'm glad Seth got saved. And I'll tell you a little more about that family in a little bit. But I'm glad for the family. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad God's doing something in their lives. And Seth's sitting back there tonight smiling at me and having a good time. Two or three Sundays in straight, he sat back there. He wasn't smiling at me. He was looking at me and sometimes hanging his head. And sometimes he didn't know what to do. And so I'm miserable in invitations. But I'll tell you, Wednesday night, when he made that step toward Jesus, I said, hallelujah. Fact is, we just bowed to pray. And somebody pointed to me that he was over there. And I said, hallelujah. You know what? What got it started? That first step he took. And I guarantee you, Seth, that was an important step in your life. and you was thinking about it and devil trying to back you out of it, but you break your will to the will of God and say, devil, I'm leaving, I'm stepping out from you, and start toward God. God will help you make a next step. Hey, maybe some here tonight young, maybe some here middle-aged or old. It doesn't make any difference. You got to make a step sometime. If you ever get saved, you'll break your will to the will of God. You don't get saved saying, now, Lord, I'm coming to you, but you've got to do this and you've got to do that for me, and I'll give my heart to you. God isn't in the bargaining business. He doesn't bargain. He doesn't let you bid on it. He just simply says, come. And Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And I say, thank God today. You can come by faith and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today's the day. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, behold, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Yesterday's gone. All we have is today. And today is your time to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to Him who is altogether lovely. Amen. And the one who can take your burden, casting all your burden upon Him, for He care for you. But the greatest burden you'll ever have is the burden of sin, being away from God and needing God to save you. And when you make that step, there is but a step between the unsaved and getting saved. Amen. I want to drill that into you tonight, because if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not saved, tonight's your night. Think about it. God let you live, and God let you come. God let you be in the house of God tonight and hear singing like you've heard and hear preaching. And thank God for it. And you can come and be saved and born in the family of God. Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth. Listen, we need to be saved and born in the family of God. I thought so many times about this, that as we think about a step between unsaved and saved, people get so close to it and yet miss it. Those 10 lepers that cried to Jesus that day, you know when really they got really started in the right direction? Was when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They were still lepers, but they obeyed by faith and started on their way. That first step they took, they broke that unbelief. They believed that Jesus would heal them before they got there. And so when they made the first step, that step, we're only one step away from being saved. I would tonight somebody make that one step and come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Let me say number 5. We are but one step away from having joy in our lives as Christian people. I'm talking tonight about people that are saved and the joy. You somehow have let the joy slip by and you're not where you need to be, not where you used to be. And somebody said one time, where's God? God's exactly where you left Him. Amen. But God said, I'll never leave you, so He's still with you. But the problem is you're not having a fellowship with Him that you once had with Him. And I want to say again tonight, these people, and I have to raise my hand and say guilty. These times we get cold on God, we drift away from the right things, and our prayer life wanes, our Bible reading wanes, and we find our not witnessing like we sometimes do, and we find ourselves coming up short. You don't have to go out and get drunk to be backslid. You don't have to go take some dope to get backslid. You don't have to go out and commit adultery to be backslid. Hey, you can backslide sitting on the pew. Amen. We need a revival in our pews today. Amen. We need a revival in the pulpit to start with, then work in the pews. Amen. I'm a candidate for it. Amen. I want to see God do something great and mighty in my life. I want to see Him do it in your life. But the Bible said over there, when David had sinned and come short of the glory of God, he cried unto God and said in verse number 12, in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And amen. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, first of all, restore to me thy joy, the joy of thy salvation. Let me remember when I got saved. Hey, help me get back that joy. And then I can tell somebody else about it. When you got that joy in you, you can't help but tell it. Amen. And tell somebody Jesus saves and get the story out. And I say hallelujah. Do you need reviving tonight? Do you need something? I'll tell you how close you are. One step away. One step away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is just and able to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just one step away. Jesus Christ will certainly forgive. He said he would. And God, Jesus already paid the price for all of our sin. But our fellowship with him gets in a morning manner. But if we'll just come to him and bow, take that step by faith and say, Lord, I need that touch. I want you to revive my heart. I want you to set me on fire for God. I want you to help me be the witness I need to be. I want revival in my life. If you really mean that, God will revive your life or my life or anybody else's life. Amen. I'm a candidate tonight. And I pray that God would help all of us think about that and get it in our minds and hearts. And I promise you, these people sitting here tonight, that if you was honest about it, you'd say, I'm not where I need to be with God. I need God to help me. You know how close you are to that? One step. Stepping out and coming to an old-fashioned altar, asking God to forgive you and restore that joy, and shout hallelujah while you go. Oh, God's been good to us, and God's great, and his mercy's been wonderful. And I praise him for every service, and I thank God for all that he does. But I'm telling you tonight, we still need revival. Amen. We need revival. God, help us have revival. Have that joy in our heart. The Apostle Peter denied Christ. Christ looked at him. Next thing you know, Peter was out weeping bitterly. You know what he's doing? Making a step in the right direction. He could have hardened his heart and said, they're killing him and I'm just going to go on my way and run from it. No, but he went out and wept bitterly because he realized Jesus was right and Jesus was who he was. And Peter had messed up in the flesh. And so he wanted to get right with God. How about you tonight? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and reality of being one step away. One step away. Lord, we don't know when death's coming. One step away. We don't know when the rapture's going to take place. That could be one step away. But Lord, we're thinking tonight about one step away from heaven or hell, one step away from being saved, one step away from having the joy restored, reviving our hearts, stirring our lives. Lord, I pray over this house tonight that the Holy Ghost of God do a work. You draw by your power, magnify yourself, and may people take that one step and come to Jesus. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.